This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are live at the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne with you. Payne and Pendergast here on Sports Radio 610. Looking forward to seeing some of the Texan fans out here later today as training camp continues. This is the first open practice. What's so funny?
I was just conversing with Astros County.
You were?
On my DMs. I was asking him about Yuli Gurriel's free agency situation.
Yeah, this is
which doesn't come. It's just weird. Yuli Gurriel is going to be arbitration eligible in 2021. By then, I think he's like 53 years old. It's just strange that Yuli will be what 36 or 37.
He's an older
by that
guy
point.
Than people think.
Yeah.
Yes,
and he'll be entering his first year of arbitration. Because he signed a four-year deal, then he has 2 years of arbitration.
Yeah, after. Yeah.
Because of all this. And the only reason I was talking to him about that was I was reading about, okay, all right, look, I'm super, super psyched about Greinke. But, of course, you wonder, does this just mean that Cole is definitely gone at the end of the year? And there's a case to be made that you could retain both Springer and Greinke while spending less than $200 million. It is possible. This doesn't necessarily 100% mean that Cole's gone when he hits free agency at the end of the year.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, what this means for Gerrit Cole, what this means for the Astros. I do think one of the best parts about this deal, Seth, the Zach Greinke deal that Jeff Luhnow made yesterday, is that they do have Greinke for another couple years after this. You know,
and that Arizona's paying for part of it.
Right.
A third of it.
$24 million they're getting from the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Thank you.
So basically Zach Greinke is $57 million over the next 2.5 seasons. They're gonna get three postseasons out of Zach Greinke for $57 million.
And Hinch wasn't good enough to be their manager, and now they're also this is like your wife all of a sudden calling up and being like, hey, by the way, listen, you're giving me too much alimony.
Right.
I'm gonna, just don't pay about a third of it, okay?
Yeah, calling up the Diamondbacks. You're like, I just married George Clooney. I just wanted to know that. The Astros are George Clooney right about now. So, Seth, I don't ever want to get desensitized to what's going on in this town right now. The star power that is on really all three of our teams here.
Yeah.
The Russell Westbrook trade from a couple of weeks ago with the Houston Rockets. They now have two of the top 10 players in the NBA. The Texans, even though we know the Texans need to make that leap under Bill O'Brien where they're winning significant games in the regular season and then winning some postseason games and making a playoff run, there's no denying they've got one of the best young quarterbacks in football. They've got two of the top 15 players in football in J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins. There is a rising level of star power on this Texans team. This Astros team is next level, man, when you think about it. You go through the everyday lineup and you go, man, Springer and Altuve and Bregman and Correa and Brantley. You go through all these names. Gurriel is going to be the player of the month in July, and you're not even mentioning Yordan Alvarez, who just broke Albert Pujols' record for most RBIs in the first 30 games.
It's because Yordan has gotten lost in the shuffle.
And he's doing historic things that are outdoing the greatest hitter of our generation. And then you go, okay, well, they're a great offensive juggernaut, but tell me about the pitching staff. Well, gather around, kids. Let me tell you about this pitching staff that now has two future Hall of Famers in the top three, and who knows what Gerrit Cole's career winds up being. This is the best starting three. I was going through recent history. Since baseball was on color TV as opposed to black and white TV, call it like the 60s or 70s, I'm having a hard time finding a top three in a rotation that's noted, you can say definitively they're better than these three.
It's whether you go top three or top four, like the combined ERA, you've got three of the top 15 ERAs in Major League Baseball right now on the team.
On an American League team. The designated hitter.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's one of the little disappointments. Greinke, I read a little piece about Greinke where Greinke enjoys watching National League Baseball more because he is a good hitter. And he enjoys the strategy of National League games. So maybe a little bit of a letdown that he didn't get to go to a National League team. I don't know. He sounds like his personality is like a more affable Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
where he's kind of got this no-nonsense, very blunt aspect of his personality, but he's learned how to manage it to the point where his teammates really like him and they think it's funny. So, like, he's kind of a quirky dude. And I love, there's nothing better than a quirky pitcher. Of all athletes, I prefer that my pitchers be the quirkiest.
Well, he pitches at a level too where you tolerate any of what might offend you of the quirkiness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's Zach Greinke.
So you have that, and then, like, the Brian McTaggart tweeted out the stat that they've got the highest ERA plus amongst their top four pitchers since 1907.
Yeah.
Like, just all these ridiculous stats. The only thing, if I could interest you in some hand-wringing right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's the state of the bullpen over the past month or so.
Yeah.
And but this immediately you feel better about because, hey, remember who was awesome as a reliever in 2017? Brad Peacock. And he's got the potential to stay a little healthier with less use.
He does. You know who else was awesome as a reliever in the postseason in 2017? Lance McCullers and Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
You know, so, and those were your, I guess by the time they're trading for Verlander, those are your, what, third and fourth starters of that rotation back in 2017? There was no Gerrit Cole on that team. So I guess my point is, like, when you start to get into the tail end of the postseason, where, let's face it, if it's anything like 2017, even with all this star power, it's a marathon, and you're starting to piece things together at the end of the year. And health isn't guaranteed for anybody. The fact of the matter is that you might be able to piece it together by using Wade Miley in the same situations that you were using Charlie Morton in,
yeah,
in the postseason back in 2017. Postseason's a different animal just in terms of the flow and the logic and how you deploy all your assets. You deploy them differently when you know that there's a vacation on the other end of that series. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you use everything that's on the table available to you, including using starters as relievers if you need to. So Seth, in this city where we've seen a trade for Russell Westbrook, we've now seen a trade for Zach Greinke, two future Hall of Famers in both of their respective sports. I don't know that Trent Williams is going to be a Hall of Famer, but now would be a pretty good time for the Houston Texans to pick up the phone and be one of these teams that's in on Trent Williams.
And I was thinking yesterday as I was reading the quotes by Luna, or as Luna was talking about how it all went down, and just think about the difference between a team where your head coach is your GM for the moment and where you actually have a GM. It sounded like there was a whole lot of sitting around yesterday, doesn't it? It's a whole lot,
yeah,
of being a general manager. There's more time where you just spend pacing your office,
right,
thinking about things, talking on your Jerry Maguire headset, like,
yeah,
doing all these things. There's a whole lot of productive sitting around.
There wasn't a five-hour phone call where,
right,
this trade was consummated.
One thing that, like, Jeff Luna wasn't doing yesterday was going over the goal line drill from the morning, which,
yeah,
Bill O'Brien would have been going over the goal line.
True.
Like, if you take the Texans and put them in the same situation,
yep,
and say, all right, whether, in, you know, obviously NFL is different, trades aren't as integral, but so the time element and the deadlines aren't quite the same. But there's just an allocation of resources. There's a time management aspect that Jeff Luno has where he's devoting 60 to 80 hours a week doing his job as general manager. I get nervous that there's nobody with the Texans spending 80 hours a week pacing the floor. Just pace the floor and think about stuff. O'Brien can't do that. He doesn't have the luxury of doing that.
He doesn't. And I know that that's what makes you nervous about this structure.
At the same time, I like the experimentation of it. But, man, when it comes to, like, okay, wow, how do you get a deal like for Trent Williams done that makes sense? I kind of like the idea of a Rick Smith or a Brian Gain just pacing the floor, thinking about it and strategizing.
It would definitely be more ideal to have a resource who's solely devoted to that aspect of the organization in this instance. And there's no impending, like, sort of league created impending event like a trade deadline that shifts the focus to,
right,
going, okay, you know what? I really do need to dedicate some of my time to this because we've got till 3 o'clock on Wednesday to get this thing done. Trent Williams is just floating out there on a breeze right now. And the unfortunate thing for the Texans, it sounds like there's a lot of teams that are interested in Trent Williams.
Right. Which is, and then again, go back to the Astros. With all the various rumors floated out, the Astros interested in Trevor Bauer, like all these other things, you don't know what's flack thrown out there,
yeah,
to keep people off the scent. We didn't hear a whole lot of Zach Greinke noise, did we? Did I miss something?
No.
Other than I think the Lima Time podcast,
yeah,
Lima Time podcast,
yeah, yeah,
in the morning, I don't know if they were joking or not, said something about it. But other than that, there wasn't a whole lot about Greinke, and yet that's the one that happened, and it happened all at the very last moment. It all came together at the very last moment. And, yeah, you've got to have a Jeff Luno to do that.
You do.
He might be, man, Luno has gone from two or three years ago where we were wondering, okay, is this just being the beneficiary of tanking? Like, is it as simple as they tanked?
Yeah.
And he hasn't really pulled off any trades or whatnot. To man, after that Verlander trade and how he's handled the team since, they've gotten to the point where now, and this is what they've, this is the pressure they've put on themselves. They are, with this squad right now as it is, if they don't come away with, at the very least, two World Series titles, you're going to look back on this era of Astros baseball as an extreme, if not disappointment.
Yeah, disappointment. Yeah.
But that's right. And I don't
unfulfilled
say,
dreams.
I'm not saying that at all, trying to put a negative spin on it. I'm excited about that because that's how good they are.
Yeah, no, I think longtime Astro fan Seth can feel exactly what it is you're articulating here. If you go back to 1998, that was prior to the Astros winning the World Series in 2017, that was easily the best team in Astros history. They made the World Series in 2005, but that 1998 team with a rotation that had Randy Johnson in it and it had Mike Hampton in it, Jose Lima was a 20-game winner back then. Their lineup was stacked. They had Moises Alou and Craig Biggio finishing in the top five of the MVP, not even to mention Jeff Bagwell, who became a Hall of Famer. That, until they won that World Series in 2017, I think that 1998 season is something that stuck with Astro fans. That's what it would feel like. If I'm with you, that's what it would feel like if they didn't win a World Series in these next 3 years. It would feel squandered.
Yeah,
what it would
yeah
feel.
Squandered, that's the right word.
That's the right word.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.